Father, we thank you today for another opportunity to gather and to learn from you and learn of you. And as we talk today about multiply, about making disciples who make disciples who make disciples, we thank you, Father, for giving us revelation and insight, not just in a general way, but in a specific way for us personally. Father, I ask that you speak to us all in our hearts, reveal to us what you want to say to us individually today. And Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. It's new this morning, your mercy for us. And we thank you for that. We just receive mercy today because we need it. And we also receive extra because we'll need it for others. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on in, y'all. We'll get going. We're going to read today from Psalm 78. Last week, Nate talked about some of the obstacles or hindrances or things that stand in the way of making disciples, why we don't make disciples. And today we're going to talk about some lost secrets of discipleship. And so I'm going to read here in Psalm 78. I'm actually reading the NIV the first time I read it. In verse 1, it says, "My people hear my teaching, listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things." I don't know about y'all, but anytime I see something like "I will utter hidden things," then they got my attention. "Things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands." Now, this is Psalm 78, and this here is the psalmist is writing. He's really talking about God's plan for discipleship. And when, you know, God originally instituted discipleship and that whole process began, it started fundamentally when God chose Abraham. Y'all remember the Bible says the reason God chose Abram, who eventually renamed Abraham, that he chose him as the man to make covenant with. Does anybody know why? Because why? It's right there. Because he'd raise his youngins, right, as Bobby said. It said God chose Abram, to make covenant with because he was a man who would command his children. Now, I don't know how God knew that because he didn't have any children when he chose him. But he chose him because he was a man who would command his children, which is very interesting. And the reason he chose him is because he knew if I make covenant with a man who won't pass this on, it ends with him. And so it had to be, in order for God's plan of redemption to work, he had to make covenant with someone who would pass it on. And that's why the Bible says that's why he chose Abram and who eventually became Abraham. And so here in Psalm 78, he's talking about this process of discipleship, which under the old covenant primarily happened from the parents to the children. Now, let's stop right there. Ultimately, because we're talking about multiplying, the very best place to start with discipleship and the primary place is in the home. I talked a lot about that. Did somebody just walk by the window? Okay. Excuse me. I talked about that last week when I was talking about mommy issues and about the importance of caring, you know, passing it on. But so I just want to just stop right there for just a minute and say, for me, in my life, this is where discipleship happened, was in my home, that my parents discipled me. And it was, and you'll see as we go through, I see all through this exactly what happened, and I didn't realize it. But I mentioned this last week, that parents can't depend on church to do the discipling of their kids. And so it's your job. It's your job to disciple your kids. So you'll hear that as we go through, what are you to do? But I remember as a kid, I so plainly remember standing by my mom's bed, my mom and dad's bed in their bedroom, and my mom is handing out index cards. Because we all had index cards of scriptures we had to learn every week. And they handed me the card that had Romans 10 on it. And that's when I learned Romans 10. Because Grace and I was like you, I could memorize scripture well. So I always wanted to beat my older brothers because they were a lot older than me. But that, so I tried to always get the one with the longest scriptures on it so I could beat them. Wouldn't you do that? And so, but anyway, so it was just that primary in my life that even my parents gave me scriptures to memorize. But we're talking about discipleship and multiplication. And if they hadn't discipled me, I don't know what would have happened to me, because we didn't go to church when I was a kid. And so where would I have been discipled? And who would, and we, you know, so I'm looking in my own life. I'm thankful that my parents did that. So I'll say that to all of us. We have to disciple our kids. But that's not all, because under the New Testament, it's not just about discipling your kids. It is that. But what Jesus did is he opened it up, because it was no longer, the faith was no longer something that was just going to be passed by lineage, or because we're all, you know, we're all born of the same people, some from the same family. Now it's for every family in the earth. Remember, God said to Abram that through you, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. We're going to start with your family. So it's really important you pass it on. But then through your family, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. I remember he said that to him. And so these same principles that they use to disciple their kids now come into play, that we use this with everybody. So really, we're talking about secrets, kind of the art of discipleship and some of the secrets. So let's look back and see what he says. He says, first of all, hear my teaching and listen to the words of my mouth. So there's going to be some teaching, and we're going to have to listen. There's going to be, as we are discipled and as we disciple others, there's going to be teaching involved. Last week, Nate talked about when Jesus hung out with the disciples, he was with them. He spent time with them. And Nate even mentioned this. He said, it's not enough for us just to be with each other and talk, like, what's the latest movie you've seen? Remember him talking about that last week? It's not enough just to be together and talk. There has to be content that matters when we're talking. We have to talk about things that are vital. So we have to actually have some kind of, and it doesn't just mean, discipleship doesn't just mean you sit in a chair and then I'm going to talk for 30 minutes and that's teaching. No, because I'm going to tell you, that's not even how you teach your kids. It's not the way I teach my kids. They never just sit and listen to me talk. That would be nice, but that never happens. But there is that process of me having to teach in an interactive way. So, but it involves teaching and listening. And then he says, like I said, I will utter hidden things. So we have to get into some stuff, and we have to talk about things that matter and things that are deeper. And we have to look for what God has for us, even hidden things. We have to look for some secret things. We have to look for some things that aren't always plain. And I'm really attracted to this. I like the what's behind, what's going on behind. Because here may be the obvious, but what's going on behind? What else is there? I don't always want to know what is. I always want to know what else is there, and looking for that. And so that's all part of this process of discipleship. Am I doing something? Okay. And then it goes on to say what our fathers have told us. So there's things that we have been taught, that we have learned, things we've learned from our, you know, and by our fathers, in this case, like our spiritual fathers or our teachers or the people who have imparted things to us. What have we learned? And so that's a question we're going to answer here today on our cards in a little bit, is what have you learned? What has been imparted to you? Because ultimately, that's what you have for somebody else. When you are discipling someone and multiplying, you know, you're allowing God to use you to multiply yourself into somebody else. Here's the question. What is it that you have? Because all that you can give somebody is what you have, isn't it? I mean, how can you give somebody something you don't have? So all of us, there's not one person in this room who doesn't have something to give. Spiritual understanding, faith, something about your relationship with God, and that would help someone else. There's not one person here that doesn't have that. And the truth is, there's a lot of people here. Most of us have a whole lot to give people. So what we've been told, we have. And we'll tell the next generation. They taught their children. And then here's where it comes in. Their children tell their children. That's the multiplying thing. And in our case, it's the people that we disciple, they disciple. And finally, that we all put our trust in God. Now, I want to read this in the Message. It reads a little different. It says, listen, dear friends, to God's truth. Bend your ears to what I tell you. I'm chewing on the morsel of a proverb I'll let you in on the sweet old truth. Stories we hear, we heard from our father's counsel, we learned at our mother's knees. We're not keeping this to ourselves. And I think that's a really critical thing. The things that you have been taught and the things you know and the understanding you have about God, who he is, your faith in God, who you are in Christ, how to be led by the Holy Spirit, all the benefits of salvation, you know, the authority you have as a believer, all these things that you've been taught, the power of your words, you know, the goodness of God, his mercy, his grace, all of the things that have been put in you, you are not to keep it to yourself. And for you to keep it to yourself, I'm going to tell you, is wrong. It's wrong for you to keep it to yourself. And I feel like that we have seen it as an option that I can tell others or not. And most people opt out. We can share with others or not. And most of us fall in the or not category because it's just, you know, trouble. Like, so you're coming to these classes and hearing these challenges and you're thinking, well, that's something I could do. But I want to remind you, we read last week and the week before that Jesus said, you need to make disciples. He said, all authority has been given to me. Now you go and you make disciples. Didn't he say that? And he didn't say this was an option any more than when God spoke to the children of Israel and told him, you tell your children and then your children are to tell their children. You are to train them. This was huge. This is, it all hinges right here. Because let me tell you, I'm going to tell you something. If every believer, if all they ever did, every born again person, if all they ever did is they received knowledge from the Word, received understanding by the Spirit of God, and all they did was take that and just, if the only thing they had done is just passed it on to their children, and their children passed it on to their children, then how many people would be born again already? How many people would already be discipled, honestly? But we have, Carol's my sister-in-law. Carol, back in her family, she's found out, she had no idea this because Carol was raised without the knowledge of God, but she found out several generations back, they were born again, spirit-filled people. But somehow or another, between them and her, it got lost. And maybe you had that. If you came to knowledge of the Lord as an adult, maybe there were several generations where it was lost. Y'all, this is huge. And now, not just this, but now if we, all the people that God's put in our lives, if we would impart it to them, what we have in us, if we would impart it to them, I'm just telling you, then they, like Nate was talking about last week, if all they did was impart it to three other people, and then those three other people imparted it to three other people, that's all we did. Y'all, do you understand where the failure of really reaching the world has been? It's not been because people have been unwilling to go to Africa or to go to China. It's been because we've been unwilling just to do the most simple thing and pass on to the people who are next to us and around us. And we just are so self-centered, selfish, self-interested, where we just keep it all right here. It's mine. I know it. I'm going to partake of the benefits. I'm going to walk in health and healing. Too bad for you. And maybe every now and then we kind of just work ourselves up just a little bit and give somebody a little morsel. And boy, we celebrate for, you know, 2 months over that little morsel we imparted to somebody. Instead of recognizing that we are to be Jesus in the world. And that people are dying and people are desperate for what we have. And we've just been silent. So let me go back. We're not keeping this to ourselves. We're passing it along to the next generation. God's fame and fortune, the marvelous things he's done. He planted a witness in Jacob, set his word firmly in Israel, then commanded our parents to teach it to their children. And in this case, he commanded every believer to go into their world and share the gospel and the truths of God, all the things that we know and have learned about God. He's commanded us to take it into our worlds. So that everyone, so the next generation would know, and for us, for all generations to know the truth and tell the stories. And that's a huge thing, to know the truth and to tell the stories. And a lot of discipleship is that. It's just telling the truth, knowing the truth, sharing the truth you've received, and telling the stories. so their children can trust in God, so that the people you're with can trust in God. Never forget the works of God, but keep his commands to the letter. So from these verses, we're going to narrow it down to these three secrets of discipleship, three things that you do when you're making a disciple. And you'll recognize that you've done some of these things, but we can be more and more deliberate in our relationships and more deliberate as we seek to really raise up disciples to impart knowledge and understanding to people. And the first one is this. The first secret is this, is to experience in an ongoing relationship with someone, you should tell them and talk of and enable them and help them to experience the supernatural power of God. People need to experience God's power. And this, I start with this, and I'm glad I start with this, because this is so critical, because so many people on the planet have a belief. So many people have a book. So many people have a theology of some sort. They have some kind of a belief system. And lots of people think as long as you have a belief system or you have a book or something, you're okay. It may be Allah. It may be, some other whole complete different system. Buddhism is a completely different system. It isn't monotheistic. It's totally different. But as long as you got something, you're okay. But what none of those have that Christianity has is we have supernatural power. And supernatural power that's not just happenstance, that just kind of shows up out of the blue, but supernatural. This is one thing that I've really, gained and gleaned from hearing Jeremy Gall so much, is this: God's power shows up in response to his people and to the faith of his people. It doesn't just show up out of nowhere. It doesn't just happen. You can pray and see a result. Amen. You can pray and see a result. God's power shows up as a result. Now, do you have in your life supernatural instances of God's supernatural power? Can you say whether it's God delivered you, God's changed and transformed you, God healed you, God provided for you, or God favored you, or we could just, God saved you and protected you, and all of these, how many things that God has done supernatural power intervened in your life? And so those are precious, and those stories, those experiences need to be shared. They need to be shared. And then not only that, in a relationship, because Nate talked about last week, challenged us to find people, to identify people in our lives that God's put there for the sake of us imparting and discipling, imparting his knowledge of God to. In those relationships, are you opening the door through praying together, through asking, which is really what opens the door, asking, praying, believing together? Are you opening the door for God's supernatural power to come in? Because a lot of times, I'll just say this about me, a lot of times I know what God would do, and I know if it was me, I would receive, but another person, it can be difficult to connect them to God's power. You and me are the connector, y'all remember? We are the connector for people. We connect people to God's power. So a discipling relationship, you should be praying and you should be expecting God's power to flow to them and through you to them and from God to them, and for them to experience God's supernatural power. So a good place to start is, what's the biggest need that they have in their lives? Sometimes it's, how many of you have prayed with somebody to get a job, or prayed with somebody for some kind of need to be met, or prayed with somebody for healing? Just, and when they experience God's supernatural power, things begin to, they get more interested. But it's also such a confirmation of the reality of God. When you pray and something changes, it's almost like cause effect. There must be an effect. Who's causing the effects, when that effect comes, and it stirs people and they trust God more. You know what I'm talking about? Because you can tell, this is what I believe, and that's what, but you just cut through all that. I don't know if you've ever been in a conversation with somebody who's kind of just on the fence about their believing, but the power of God cuts through all that. It cuts through man's reasoning, and it cuts through really, the other thing it cuts through, it just cuts through the idleness and the laziness and the sloppiness of life too. It cuts through, it just totally brings to the forefront what is vital. It just brings it to the forefront. So there you go. So people need to experience God's power. That's something that we over and over in the scripture are told to tell of what God does and to share it with other people. So that's it. And then the second thing we do is we teach the commands of God. So another way to say that is we teach people the word. We teach people what the scripture says, how to live according to the Bible. And this, honestly, in our day, do people have any notion of how to live by the Bible? Do Christian people know how to live by the Bible? I mean, honestly, one of the shocking things to me as a pastor in the last 18 years has been how little Christian people know about living by the Bible. It's shocking. And not just knowing, but actually willing to do it. Wednesday night, I shared a message about how people will disappoint you. And I ended the last couple of hours of that message. I mean, couple hours. Seemed like it. The last few minutes. I know some of you were thinking that, right, Eka? Now you were thinking that. It's been a long day. The last 2 hours she's been talking about. Anyway, you get down to the end and I talked about how we are to resolve conflict or when we have an offense with somebody. And just going through that, I saw how we absolutely do not know what the Bible says about getting along with each other. Or if we know it, we sure don't do it. We don't do it. If you don't know what I'm talking about, get that podcast or get that message offline or get a CD because it's crazy. But we are to teach people what does the Bible say? And let's live by the Bible. And it might be as simple as just introducing people to the Bible because the Bible's very intimidating. How many of you started reading the Bible really for the first time as an adult? And what did you think about it? Yeah. Yeah, people don't know. They just open the Bible. It falls open to the book of Judges. And they, you know, people don't know. So that's one of the things that you have to just start by telling people what the Bible, what about the Bible? These are the Gospels. These are the epistles. Helping people to understand what they're reading. Just this is our book, and this is how our book is laid out, and this is how you find things in your book. Do y'all all know how to use a concordance? Figure, if you don't know how to use a concordance, then you need to learn how to use a concordance. Then you need to share that with other people. Thank God for all the tools we have. I'm telling you, own our phones. We can find take any word and find a scripture about it, basically. It's amazing what we have at our, just sitting in our pockets. But if people don't know that and understand that, so that's where you start. Just here, you know, that's one of the things. Here's our book. Here's what to do with it. And then, helping people topically to figure some things out. Our Abundant Life Manual has a whole list of topical scriptures we put together. If people need help with all these areas, give them scriptures about certain areas. Earlier this year, we had a session in here on healing, and we talked a lot about healing. And I challenged you, give me some scriptures that where God promises that healing is yours. Where is that? You should know those. And maybe that's a topic you take up with somebody. If you're praying for their supernatural healing, then you start there and give them some scriptures. Remember, dear, those of you that are in the Trust Challenge some weeks ago, we were told to get cards and write scriptures down and memorize scriptures. That's all part of it. We have to have the word. We're not going to make disciples without giving people the word, without explaining the word, teaching the word, showing people the word, people knowing the word. You shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. We got to know the word. Isn't that right? And so that's a part of it, is giving and coming to understanding about the word and letting people, not just you talking about the word, but letting the word come alive for them. So in a discipling relationship, it's not what I'm doing here. This is not necessarily a discipling relationship. Yeah, it is in one way, but it isn't what we're really talking about. What we're talking about is you sitting with someone or someone's and them saying, well, this is what I see here. You saying, this is what the word says. This is how I found it works in my life. And then them saying, well, what about this? And then y'all looking at that and what else about it? And you thumbing through your Bible and you finding out what the word says and sharing that together, eating together. This is a really good way to eat together, eat the word together, chew on it together, talk about it together, get through it together. And it's interesting. This is when that iron sharpening iron really comes into play. Really, really comes into play. And then the third one is to pass on to other people a passionate faith. Because a lot of people don't have a passionate faith. They have a passive faith. But they don't really have a passion. They don't have a, they're not hot. They're not, there's no fervor. Y'all know what passion is. I mean, if you see Gary Platt and Buddy Whaler about mid-October, then you'll see what passion is. Because Brenda told me that what Gary does when the Bulldogs are playing is that his little viewing area becomes the stadium, except much more comfortable version, because he's got the big TV and he's got the recliner and he even has a big, is it a foam finger or a flag or he's a what? A dog puppet. I mean, he's got all this going on. That's passion for the Bulldogs. It's misplaced passion, but yet it's passion. And so that you understand do we have just even anything that would approach that kind of passion for the things of God, for our faith? And I'm just going to tell you, if you're not passionate about your faith in God, it's going to be difficult for you to disciple anybody, especially your kids. Your kids know what you're passionate about. They do. We could just send you out and just talk to your kids and find out a whole lot about what you're passionate about. So they know. And then the people who are around you that have an active, ongoing relationship with you, they know what you're passionate about. They know if you're passionate about the things of God or not. Why do they know? Because they hear what you talk about. They see what you do with your time, with your money. They see what you're living your life for. And so you want to make sure that you are passionate in your faith and that you're passing that on to other people. We're not just passing on rules and regulations. And I it's so sad, because I think a lot of people have reduced Christianity to passing on rules and regulations. And that's not at all what we're doing. We're passing on a living faith, something that's alive and growing and developing, and something that is worth giving your life to and giving your life for. Aren't we? And that's what we, I mean, for me, that's what I'm passing on, something that's worth giving my life to, giving my life for. And that, man, that swallows up so many other things. It does. It just swallows it up. So what we're going to do here in just a minute, I gave you some cards, and we're going to do an exercise here in just a minute. But let me just, before we get into that, I'm going to just share the first time that I knew in my life that I was actively discipling people. I didn't set out to do it. I just sort of happened into it and didn't even really realize it until much later what was happening. But when I went to ORU in the fall of 84, I assumed when I got to ORU that I was going to meet a whole bunch of people that were just like me. And I packed up, I put all my stuff in boxes. I still to this day do not understand how this is how I went to college. But it's 1984, me and six cardboard boxes got on an airplane in Augusta, and I flew to Tulsa. And so now I'm going to live there. And so they picked me up in a bus, a shuttle, and take me over to where I'm supposed to register. I don't know a soul, don't know anybody, anything. And so then they assign me to a room, and I go and stay in the room, and I meet some people. And I get in the room that night, and I can't wait to see what tapes everybody else has, because we're going to all share our tapes. Because at least two of my six boxes are nothing but tapes, and they don't have any tapes. And so I thought that everybody in the world went to bed listening to teaching tapes. And so we get ready for bed, and I get my tape, because while we have their tapes. You know what tapes are? They're cassette tapes. I know it's like a real foreign notion to you, but it's sound comes through. It's a kind of a novel concept. But anyway, so there we are, and this is playing. Yeah, it's like that. But yeah, there you go. Yeah, think like, but anyway, so there we are, and I listen, I turn this on because now we're lights out and we're going to sleep. And everybody's like, what is that noise? And I'm like, what do you mean? This is my tapes. This is what we sleep with. Well, they thought I was crazy, but I couldn't sleep without them. But anyway, that was sort of the beginning of me recognizing not everybody in the world was just like, you know, not everybody, every other Christian teenager was just like me. Well, what I found out is that those kids, they were raised in Christian homes, but they sure didn't know very much. And so it started for me a whole lot of discipling relationships. And a lot of my friends at ORU, they saw the power of God. What we talked about, a lot of them saw the power of God, healing power, when I would pray for them. They just started coming to me to pray for them. And then a lot of them got baptized in the Holy Spirit. My friend Joanne that y'all see that comes to town and visits me, y'all remember her? Joanne was raised in a little, very stiff Pentecostal home, and she got baptized in the Holy Spirit there with me and learned a whole lot of stuff about authority, the believer, and all kind of things like that. So then even Haley Assures and Walker, who pastor in Zambia now, Haley learned all kinds of stuff about faith and authority and all those things through a discipling relationship with me. And I look back now, and that's what was going on. God was using me to impart to them. They just happened in my life, and I had something that they didn't have, and they needed it. And just through our relationship, we would have talks. We would share the supernatural power of God, which Holy Spirit is one big part of that, and then the Word, and then a passionate faith. Now you have your card, and on one side of the card, what I want you to do, maybe the side that doesn't have lines would be easier. I want you right now, I want you just to take, we're going to take 1 minute, and I want you to start writing names of people that are in your life, saved or unsaved, that you know they're in your life, God has brought them in your life, and they're open to you. And that's probably the best way I would put it. You know that they are open to you. That you, for whatever reason, they seem open to you. You're drawn to them or they're drawn to you. And there's an openness between you. It may be somebody else in the church here. Maybe it's somebody that maybe you don't even know if they're open to you, but somebody you're kind of drawn to, or for some reason they, it just seems like, hey, I could be connected to that person, or that person, I might could be friends with them. There's just a kind of a drawing of some kind there. And while you're doing that, I'm just going to pray for you. Father, I thank you that ultimately, the Holy Spirit leads us as we make disciples. Ultimately, you are the one who brings us together with these relationships. And I pray, Father, for all of us that the eyes of our understanding would open up and be flooded with light, and that we would see the people that you've brought across our pathway. We would see them for what they are, opportunities to pass on our faith, opportunities to make disciples. Bring up in each of us, Father, people, not just right now, but over the next few days that we would see. We would recognize, help us to recognize who you've brought into our lives. Amen. Okay. So now flip your card over. And you may be sitting in service today and pop, a name comes to your face. Get out your card and write it down. That's okay, Matt, if they do that, isn't it? Okay. You may suddenly, the light may come on. All right, now, the other side, what I want you to do is I want you, we're going to take a couple minutes, I want you to start writing down things that you know, that you've learned, that you have a revelation on, that you've had experience with, that you know I could impart this to somebody else. This is something that other people need. Everybody in here has something. If it's just as simple as how to be saved or God is a good God. And most of you would need a whole pack of cards to write it all down. But what are things that God's revealed to you, that you've seen, that you've experienced, that the light has come on, that the word's come alive, that you've been taught, that you've put into practice in your own life, that you've been tried and tested in and seen God faithful in. Things that really came as a revelation to you, brought you out of darkness. Things that you've staked your life on. Because I'm going to tell you, you may not realize this, this is the true treasure of your life. The things you're writing down, this is the real treasure of your life. It is. This is what's precious, most precious in your life, what you're writing down here. The revelation, the hidden things, the secrets of God, knowing how to tap into God's power, knowing how to have a relationship with God. This is real wealth that you're writing down. You're writing down your real wealth. All right, we obviously are not going to have time for you to finish that list. When you get a chance, why don't you write some more of that later? Just stick that card somewhere. You can write some more. And now you need to start talking to God about who it is that He'd have you put that into. And maybe spend some time praying in the Spirit. Who else? Who did you entrust this to me? Because we know God never gives us anything just for us. Who did you give this to me for? I got it from God. Now where do I put it? Where do I impart it? Amen? See you next week.